Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, this morning here on Father's Day, I need to begin by saying I have a confession to make. And I know that this is not the normal way that we begin, but I have a confession to make, and I hope you're ready. Hope you're not too surprised. I just want to say it this way. There are many things that I know would be good for me to do, but I don't want to do them. I don't want to do them. I mean, I know it'd be good for me to stop pouring flavored creamer into my coffee every single morning, but I keep doing it anyway. I had two cups this morning. I know it'd be good for me to eat more fish because eating fish is healthy, but I think God made fish to swim in the ocean, not necessarily in my stomach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I like salmon, but the rest of the fish can stay there in the water. And I know it'd be good for me to eat more fruit and vegetables, but they never seem to be welcomed on my plate of chips and cheese. And I know it'd be good for me to lift more weights, and you probably would agree with me when I say that, but I'd rather relax and watch a good movie on the sofa. You know, there are many things which I know would be good for me to do, but I don't often really want to do them. And this sometimes includes the three words that my friend Harry shared with me like 10 years ago. Last weekend, if you weren't able to see the message, I encourage you to watch it because it served as a springboard to everything we're talking about here today. See, Harry met with me and he told me that, you know what, he knew it's good for him, but he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to say the words, "I was wrong." I mean, he wronged somebody, but he didn't want to admit it. And that meant that Harry also skipped over the next three words he told me that he should have said if he would have said the first three words. And I asked him, well, what are the second set of three words? He said, "Please forgive me." See, Harry was talking really about this thing called confession. Confession. And this morning, I just want to ask, why do we know confession is so good for us, and yet we don't want to do it? It's freeing, it's life-giving, but we don't want to do it. And I think the answer to this is why we don't want to confess is this one word called pride. Pride. I mean, it was the first sin committed in history, and it's still the first sin we so easily embrace. And so as we begin here today, I just want to focus here on this one passage, Proverbs 11. It says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And boy, we all need a lot more wisdom. And so when it comes to confession, here's what pride wants to do. Pride wants to be heard. Pride wants to be defended. Humility wants to confess, listen, respond, and seek healing. And how about the other side of the coin? You know, one side of the coin we have confession, but then the other side is forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's defined different ways. I'll define it this way this morning. It means letting go of resentment and anger while extending love and kindness when it's undeserved. And when it comes to forgiveness, many of us know forgiveness would be good for us, and yet we don't often want to do it. Why? Well, it goes back to that word again, pride. You see, when it comes to forgiveness, pride wants the other person to suffer deeply for what they've done. If we're honest, and we want to be there to see them suffer when they go through it. That's pride. Humility wants to seek healing so all suffering will end. And while we know humility is good for us, and we know that it's good to be humble, it really is, we often find humility to be best suited for someone else. That's why we'll even encourage them. We'll say like, "Wow, I can't believe you did what you did." We're amazed at that. But we often struggle with embracing it for ourselves. And it's so essential. The Bible says it this way, "All of you," that means me, that means you, that means everyone online, "all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." And friends, this leads me to something else that would be good for all of us as Christians to do. But if we're honest, we don't really want to do it. Implement the word go. Go, G-O. We don't really want to implement that word. I mean, as many of you know, after Christ died, he rose again. But just before he ascended, he met with those closest to him, and he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And while many Christians will know it's good for them to go and make disciples, many Christians just really want to stay home. Or they want to support somebody else who will go, and that way they can be some kind of part of their obedience if they're not really going to go anywhere. And the same often holds true whenever a Christian has been wronged by someone who's really, really important to them. God calls such a wrong sin. And what does Jesus say we should do whenever someone has hurt us by sinning against us? Jesus said, go. Go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So there's that go word again. And while it sounds like a great idea to win someone over, we don't often really want to do the effort to go to them and actually bring that about because it's difficult. It's unsettling. And that's why we'd rather live in our bitterness by telling other people how we have been wronged rather than go to the person who has wronged us. In fact, just the thought of doing that can keep us up at night. And so much like Jonah, we go in the other direction of what God has told us to do, and we board our ship to safety armed with our ticket of disobedience, and we somehow think everything's going to turn out all right. And then when the waves of our own bitterness begin to rock our boat, we get even more bitter, and we ask, like, why aren't you providing me, God, any peace? Just so you know, we're going to focus more on forgiveness next weekend. Forgiveness. But as I thought about this series, I just thought about me. And I'm sure you can't relate to this at all. But when I think about the word forgiveness, the first thing that comes into my mind are the five people who've wronged me. What doesn't come to my mind are the five people I've wronged. And so that's why we're starting with us, with our need for really confession. And so I'd like to now focus then on another use of the word go that we often forgo. You know, when we've actually wronged someone, but we don't admit it. Like, we don't want to admit we've said wrong or done wrong. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You're experiencing it right now. Like when there's silence in your home and everybody knows why, but no one is humble enough to admit they were wrong. So everything in the house just feels wrong. Have you been there? Or when different family members just try to live in different rooms so they won't accidentally run into that other person in their house, you know, that person that they say that they love. Or when you stop texting or emailing or talking on the phone with your friend because of what happened, and deep down inside, you completely miss that relationship with them. In fact, some Christians, and the Bible says this, would rather get up early on Sunday morning, drive all the way here to church, and sing some really great worship songs rather than drive their car to the home of the one that they've just wronged. Jesus said it this way, that whenever you try and avoid going to them by worshiping him, Jesus said, leave your gift there at the front of the altar. Leave it there. Jesus told us that our gift of praise will do just fine all on its own so we can confront what we don't really want to own. And once we leave, what are we to do next? Well, you might have guessed it. Go. Go and be reconciled to them. And there's that go word again. I don't know about you, but it seems like Jesus sure likes this word a lot. And I think as his followers, we should become more and more enamored with this word as well. So how about you? Do you know that you've wronged another person and you failed to do kind of anything about it? Rather than go to them, have you simply tried to just move on? Or have you acted like what you said or did didn't really happen? You treated your actions like it wasn't that big of a deal. Have you done that? Well, think about it this way. Would you feel the same way if those words or actions were committed against you? Well, probably not, right? And that's why Jesus told us to go to the other person and ask for their forgiveness. And just the thought of doing that likely raises a couple questions in our minds, doesn't it? Questions like how and what? Like, how should I go to that other person and what should I say to them when I do? You see, I think knowing the answer to those questions would make our going to that other person a whole lot easier. I think it would. Well, when I was 10 years old, my father took us out of the traditional church, and he took us to a Jesus Movement church. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it was very different. So let me just frame it this way. We went from this church where everybody wore, you know, suits and ties and coats and dresses to a church where everyone just really rode to church on their Harley Davidson motorcycles. I mean, the hair was very long. The beards were long. I mean, their jackets were made of black leather, not wool, if you know what I'm talking about. Quite a transition. And so I'm 10 years old, and the more we attended that church, though, I was struggling because the more my eyes and my thoughts were focused on the senior pastor's wife. I didn't like her. She bothered me to the core. And I'm only 10, and while I didn't know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 yet, I had no clue. What I did know is that God just kept telling me, you need to go to apologize to her. You need to go, and you need to do it right now. It was just so much inside. It was like going to blow up inside of me. And so I tried to do that. That next Sunday, after the church service was over, I just stood in line waiting for the opportunity to talk with her. You see, she was quite a celebrity in that church, and everybody wanted to talk to her, and I couldn't figure out why anyone wanted to talk to her. But so I'm standing in line, and I'm like the next person to go, and my dad comes up. He says, Phil, what are you doing? I mean, it's time to go. Your mom has a roast in the oven, and it's going to burn. Let's go. And so I left that line just thanking God for that roast in the oven. I did. I mean, after all, it was due to that dead cow that I didn't have to face death myself. It's what it felt like. I mean, I was so nervous, so incredibly nervous. My heart pounding like through my chest. The good news was that roast got me off the hook. At least for that weekend, because the week that came, it just kept coming to me. You need to go to her. You need to apologize. You need to seek her forgiveness. Well, that next Sunday came around much more quickly than I ever would have wanted. And so we went to church. And after the service, I stood in line yet once again to talk with the senior pastor's wife. And this time, that roast would not save me. So now there's just one person in front of me, and they finished talking to her. And then she looked back at me with a smile, and she said, Phil, what's on your mind? And it's there my heart started pounding again. I mean, sweat starts pouring down my back. I felt myself shaking. I mean, I was so nervous, I wasn't even sure I could talk. And then I did. I mean, it seemed like my brain stopped working while my heart started talking. And before I knew it, I just blurted it out. I said, you're overbearing and you talk too much. Will you forgive me? And that's how she responded. She just started laughing and laughing. She couldn't stop herself. She kept laughing. Eventually, she gave me a hug and told me that everything was going to be all right. The truth, it really wasn't all right, at least from my perspective, because it seemed that my confession changed little for her, because I kept coming back to church and she just kept talking a lot. But I had gone to her. It was a horrible confession, but I had confessed, I had done my best, and I felt so much better. So how then should you go to the person that you've wronged? Well, not like that. Don't do that. Like, don't do what I did. Learn from me. Just don't do that. So how do you go to that person? Well, when I started here, almost 10 years ago now, I showed up at this church at a very hurtful time. The church had gone through a lot. There was a lot of pain, a lot of misunderstanding. And there was a deep desire by a lot of different people that I somehow step in and kind of heal all of that, whatever that was. And this led to various people in the first year and a half that I served here, people that I had never met, never heard of, either scheduling appointments to meet with me or just showing up at my door, walking into my office and sitting down, and the meeting would just start. It was a very interesting time. One day, this rather tall man with this huge smile on his face, he showed up, sat down, and introduced himself. His name, Ford Taylor. Now, Ford, as far as I know, was never a member of this church, but he had helped before I had ever come there to help in some way to reconcile some things. And so while in my office that day, he told me about this seminar he invited me to for business leaders right here in Cincinnati. And so I actually went a few weeks after that. Carol came with me. Our daughter Melody came as well. And it was at this seminar that I learned about the six-step apology. Afterwards, we incorporated that within kind of our staff and our board, and I now desire to share it with you. I do that because Jesus told us that if we wrong anyone, we show up here and we've wronged somebody, we're actually to go and be reconciled with them. And so with humility in our hearts, let's all embrace the six-step apology. I refer to it as the pathway to confession. Step one, state the offense. State the offense. I mean, state aloud to the other person what he or she believes you did to wrong them or what you inherently know that you did wrong. And when you go to them, don't say, if I hurt you. A lot of people try to do that. You know, if I did. No, no, no. Just make this key statement. I know I hurt you. I know I hurt you. And this is what I did. And then state it. See, I said words that I should never have said to you. I lost my temper, and in the process of doing that, I know I hurt you. I was defensive. I wasn't humble. I mean, whatever it was that you just did, state it. Don't whitewash it. Scripture says, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And we all need more mercy. And this would take us then to step two. Acknowledge your wrongdoing. Acknowledge your wrongdoing. Basically, say those three words that my friend Harry said were so hard for him to say. Say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Saying I was wrong after you've wronged somebody is the right thing to say. It's the healing thing to say. Well, when I was 14 years old, this is 4 years later, we were now at a different church because the pastor at the previous church, he actually had died of a heart attack and they never replaced him. And my parents felt like we need to go to a church where there's a pastor. And so we went to this new church, and the pastor of that church invited me to sing some of my songs during the Sunday night service. Now, I was writing songs back then, and he liked them. It was really encouraging to me. But you know what? Back then, the church we were going to was not the church we had just left. This church, the music was a piano and an organ every single Sunday. Some of you may remember that, perhaps. And so, you know, I went to church that Sunday night to sing my songs, playing my guitar. My brother played the bass, and the pastor's son played drums. Well, they had never heard anything like this before. And so we didn't even get 60 seconds into that first song when a man at the back of the church yelled out so loudly that everybody could hear, "Turn that bar music down." And I'm 14. What do you do? I just kept singing. I just kept singing. Didn't know what else to do. But it bothered me. I went home that afternoon. I just couldn't imagine that he would do that. And then I went to school the next morning. After school, I went to my job. I had a part-time job back then to help pay the bills. And you might recognize me. You know, there used to be a day, some of you will remember this, some of you won't have a clue what I'm talking about, but there used to be a day when you went to the gas station, somebody pumped your car up with gas for you, and then they washed your windshield and checked your oil. That was me. Okay, so I show up at my job, I'm doing my job, and I'm standing in the office now just waiting for a car to pull up to one of the pumps so I could do my job. And then this car rolled in. The man driving the car was the guy from the night prior. He got out of his car, he saw me, he walked into that office, and now I'm standing there with my fellow employees. There were a few people there in the office who just were paying a bill. They just happened to be there. And he walked in, he got down on his knees, he just started weeping, weeping. He said, you know I hurt you. I should never have said the things that I said. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And then he just kept crying. Of course, I forgave him. But I'll never forget him getting up, walking out, getting in his car, and driving away. And I've never forgotten that moment. A man at that point in his mid to late 60s, armed with the humility needed to drive across town, go to my workplace, not just apologize to me alone, but apologize in front of people he didn't even know who they were. It's pretty amazing. The Bible says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That last line is so important, that you may be healed. You see, I think there's a lot of Christians, probably in this room, watching online, that you have never really understood why you don't have the joy that you wish that you had. You wrestle with the fact that you don't have peace like it seems like other people have, and it bothers you. Perhaps I would say the reason why you're bothered, the reason that you're lacking that joy and that peace, is because you haven't confessed to another. You've wronged another and you've just moved on. But you're very good at remembering how other people wronged you. I'll read that again. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You want to be healed and embrace step two. And then without giving any kind of excuse or trying to minimize the situation, embrace the next step. Make an apology. Look that other person in the eyes and say the next three words. I am sorry. I am sorry. And whatever you do, don't say, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. You know, I want to apologize right now, or I want to make things right. Just make things right. Just say, I'm sorry. Those would be very freeing moments for you. In fact, when was the last time you said those three words? When was the last time you said those words when they really mattered? I asked that last question because I don't know if you know this, but studies show that the average American, so maybe you consider yourself average, that you say you're sorry to someone else 8 to 10 times every single day. Did you know that? That means around 3,000 times a year that you say, I am sorry. And we easily say those words. They come out of our mouths when it really doesn't matter as much. Like, you cut somebody off at the checkout lane at Kroger. You say, oh, I'm sorry. And then you continue to do it anyway, you know? Or you say, I'm sorry to a stranger you just met. Or, to a coworker. You're in conversation and you cut them off. They say, oh, I'm sorry. And then you just kind of move on. People say this all the time. That's what studies show. But do we say it when it matters, really? Do we say when we've really wronged another person? In fact, studies show the opposite, that we really fail to say those words. They don't get uttered from our lips. The psalmist wrote this long ago, and I pray that we would respond as well. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. And then after saying those words to the loved one in your life, waste no time then in going to the next step. Step four, ask for forgiveness. Basically, that means saying the next three words that my friend Harry said that he didn't want to say. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Now, before you say those words, though, to that other person in your life, I think it's really important to consider something. You need, and I need, we all need to consider, really, our past relationship with that other person. It's really important. Because you have to think through, okay, is this the first time I've wronged this person in this way? Or have I wronged them in this way previously? Or have I wronged them in this way habitually? Now, if this was the first time, then I think it's good to go to them and say, will you please forgive me? But if you wronged them in this way before, or maybe many times before, it'd be better to have statement two. When you can, will you please forgive me? When you can, will you please forgive me? And remember, when you go to them, it's not really important to you. It shouldn't be anyway how they respond in the moment. But what I mean by that is you shouldn't go with the expectation that as soon as you say that, they're going to go, oh, yeah, no problem. I don't even know why you brought this up. No. We go with that expectation that we shouldn't do that. Just as you need time to process something important in your life, they probably need time to process what you're saying to them. When you think about it, whatever you've done, you've taken something from them. And so now maybe it would be the gift of responding to them with the gift of time, just giving them time to respond. You see, at this point, the choice is theirs. It really is. When Nelson Mandela was finally released from prison after all those years, he's quoted as saying this, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." So if the person you wronged decides not to forgive you right away, or even eventually after you've asked for forgiveness, remember, that's their choice. You don't have to carry the guilt of their choice, and you most certainly don't have to join them in their prison. You don't have to do that. The important thing is that you've gone, you've asked for their forgiveness. Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. That's what you're doing in this situation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And then after you've asked for forgiveness, then move to the next step. Step five, this is one that many of us really don't embrace. Ask for accountability. Ask for accountability. Again, look them in the eyes and say something like this. I give you permission to hold me accountable for not behaving this way anymore. I give you permission to hold me accountable for not behaving this way anymore. I've heard Ford say it this way. He said, remember that we're not making the other person accountable to hold us accountable. We are giving permission to the other person to hold us accountable. If they do so later, welcome it. If they never do, that's their call. Yet as Christians, friends, we should never shy away from accountability. The Bible says it this way, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So then in the process of sharpening your relationship with that other person, it's always important to remember this as well. While you have a certain recollection of what happened between you and that other person, so do they. And they may have been hurt by an action you don't remember doing. They might remember you saying something that you completely forgot that you said in your emotional state. And they might have even been more hurt by the tone you used rather than the words you used. And so with this very much in mind, go to the last step. Ask if there's anything more. Is there anything more? It's hard to do. It's really important to do. You see, this last step might be the difference between you having an okay relationship with that person and an incredible relationship with that person. So with that in mind, say, is there anything else I've done in our relationship that I need to apologize for? Is there anything else I've done in our relationship that I need to apologize for? And yes, this question may open the door to things that maybe you'd rather not deal with, but I'll tell you what, when you do in humility, you will be blessed, they will be blessed, there will be healing. Remember, they're gonna remember some things, perhaps, like it was yesterday. And that question, you're giving them the opportunity to finally be freed. And in the middle of that situation, remember that as you ask that person to search their mind regarding any past offense, you're also asking the Lord to heal and restore both of you. The key verse here, and be kind to one another. This is one anothering that's going on here. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So here's the big question. Now that we've gone through the six-step apology, now that we've stepped through the pathway to confession, is there anyone in your life that you need to be reconciled with? Anyone? Remember, Jesus told us to drop everything we're doing here and go and be reconciled to them. And so as you consider reconciliation, what it might mean for you in your life, I'm going to lead in two different prayers today. The first would be a prayer for those who need to be reconciled with God. I'll explain that. And then secondly, a prayer for those who need to be reconciled with others. So before I pray, will you all just close your eyes right now? And the first question I'd ask before I pray the first prayer would be this. Do you need to be reconciled with God? I mean, have you heard about God your whole life? Gone to church a lot? Try to be a good person, but haven't really been reconciled to him. Never really started your relationship with him. In the last service, there was a man 81 years old with his wife. They'd been married for decades. He finally prayed this prayer for the first time. And as a couple united for the first time in Christ. You might be young. You might be old, you might be in between, but do you need to be reconciled with God? If so, perhaps repeat this prayer after me. You don't need to say it out loud, just between your heart and God's heart. Say, oh Lord, I've wronged you many times. I've wronged others many times. In fact, there's so many wrongs I've done, I've forgotten a lot of them, or I've tried to. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Wash my sin away. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me on the cross. Thank you for taking my sin upon yourself and dying in my place, so that when you rose again, you would offer me the hope of eternal life, a life with you. God, I want to start today as the day I started being your child, walking in your forgiveness, walking in your grace. Lord, thanks for all you've done for me. Thanks for all you're doing right now. Lord, thanks for all you're going to be doing in my life for the days and the years to come. Thank you for your forgiveness. And now I want to pray a prayer over everyone here and over all those who are online. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our tendency to hide and to blame. You know our tendency to be like Jonah and run in the other direction and then try to get friends to support us in our running, as we really don't want to fess up to what we've done to someone, how we've hurt them. We try to rationalize it. Lord, forgive us all from those kinds of actions. But Lord, right now by your Spirit, I ask that you would show everyone here, if there is someone, maybe there's more than just one, Lord, remind them of who that person is. Help them to see their face right now in their mind's eye. And Lord, I pray that for all of us now, Lord, you would help and you would give us the humbleness needed to take the next step, the grace needed to take the next step, the wisdom needed to know what to say, how to say it. And Lord, as each person goes to whoever these other beautiful, wonderful people are that you've made, that you love, may you heal these relationships. May you restore these relationships if possible. But Lord, I pray ultimately, Lord, for your hand of blessing over each one as they take these steps, as they initiate these steps, the pathway to confession, which is really the pathway to freedom that we'll talk about in a few weeks. Lord, have your way in us and through us. You've forgiven us much. Help us not to be unforgiving, but help us, Lord, to reach out to those and say, I've wronged you. Will you forgive me? And Lord, through it all, may we walk in joy and in peace, in the freedom of knowing that we're not hiding anything anymore, concealing anything anymore, rationalizing anything anymore. We're living honestly, humbly, freely, because we're following the path you've given us, Lord. I want to thank you in advance for all that you're about to do, Lord. We want to glorify your name. We pray this, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Will you stand with me? Jesus said, you know, you have something against someone, you have not confessed to them. Now is the time to go. So as you go, I'll leave you now with these words. You've heard them in the sermon already. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So go now in his grace. Go now in his peace. Go now with his forgiveness and humility, and you will be blessed. Walk in all the blessing that God has for you. I love you all, and we'll see you next weekend as we talk about forgiveness. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.